Good morning, dear friends, who are on the journey with me, walking with Jesus, through Paul's letter to the Christians in Rome, about 54 AD. Today we're in Romans chapter 12, and this chapter is another home run, or maybe a touchdown, or a goal, depending on your favorite fall sport analogy. As with chapters 2, 5, and 8, notice that Paul's first word is therefore. It means, of course, that he is drawing a conclusion based on what he has written previously. Therefore, I urge you, friends, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. That's the first two verses of Romans 12. You've read this many times, I'm sure. Perhaps you even memorized it, and probably you've used it in conversation with others. So, what does it mean to you? We're in the first weeks of fall football season, and this idea of offering your bodies as living sacrifices kind of fits, doesn't it? Every week, football teams issue a list of players who won't play that week because their bodies are suffering injury. Too often, we see talented players carried off the field due to injury. Football is a contact sport, and these highly trained athletes do all they can to protect themselves, but they're giving their all for victory, and sometimes injury happens. Can we make the application to you and me in the normal course of everyday life? And Paul's admonition to give ourselves fully to God. We can see it with missionaries who pack up everything, leave home, and go live in a foreign country, eat strange foods, learn another language, risk life and limb. But what about you and me, here, where you and I live and work and live out our normal lives? I think the key may be found in verse 2 and 3. Can we clearly see this in the immoral, unethical, downward spiral of society all around us? Can we discern where our being a son or daughter of Holy God and Holy Spirit indwelt follower of Jesus calls us to be a non-conformist? I mean, not conforming to what we know is wrong all around us. Some of that is easy, right? No murder, no adultery. But what about not joining in the gossip or the slander conversation? Or not going with the guys to that place you wouldn't take your mother? Or not texting and driving? Or what are the opportunities that God gives you and me regularly to stand for what is right and God-honoring and not conform to the downward spiral of society around us? Do you notice Paul challenges his Roman readers to see how important a renewed mind is if you intend to live a transformed life and be a nonconformist? And in verse 3, how important strangling pride is and living determined to not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather to think of yourself with sober judgment. So let's stop for just a moment and do a mind check. How well are our minds functioning in discerning where and when we need to be nonconformists and discerning pride in ourselves? It's a high standard for living, isn't it? But it's the walking with Jesus way as we imitate Jesus, right? So how do you and I renew our minds? And how often? Oh, my friends, I have found daily time in God's Word is absolutely vital in renewing my mind. And that's why this walking with Jesus journey might be greatly used of God in helping all of us renew our minds. But what else, my friends? What else have you found helps you renew your mind? I'd love to hear about it if you'd take a moment and write me a note. Perhaps you've discovered something that could help all the rest of us. Do you notice in chapter 12, verse 4 to 8, Paul revisits the theme that he explained to the Corinthian Christians in 1 Corinthians 12, 12 to 31. So that should be easy to remember, right? Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12. They both explain this idea that we are wonderful individual creations of God, gifted by his Holy Spirit, united together in the body of Christ, each of us contributing something different, but making a wonderful, God-glorifying tapestry of diversity. So, may I ask, can you see that beautifully in the local church that you're a part of? Do you see your strategic fit? Can you see what's missing if you aren't flourishing and using your gifts to the fullest and continuing the development of those gifts? Now, the remainder of Romans 12 is almost like a locker room pep talk at halftime, isn't it? In rapid fire, Paul challenges us in very practical terms of how to live our lives as followers of Jesus in ways that will both bring Jesus into our relationships with other people and our life situations, but also show everyone we know the authenticity of our being filled with and led by the Holy Spirit of God. So, may I urge all of us to read verses 9 to 21 slowly, stopping after each statement that Paul makes, and asking ourselves this simple question: Is this me? And then this question: Holy Spirit, what fresh work would you like to do in me that will further refine this attribute, this characteristic of Jesus in me? But of course, we don't just ask the questions, do we? We then make plans to improve, right? May I especially urge us to ponder long and deeply on verse 18. Paul writes, "If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone." Oh my, that's powerful, isn't it? What would be required for it to be true of all of us? Hey friends, I have an idea. What if, as you read through this chapter, you ask the Holy Spirit to bring to your mind one or two people who are really good examples of living some of these things really well? Then consider sending them a note of encouragement or calling them to tell them that they really help Romans 12 come alive for you because they live it so well. Wouldn't that be encouraging? Now, I hope you have a great day today, my friends. You might want to read chapter 12 two or three times, and let's really own it.